Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Getting their testimonies, and but first, talking about Lisa, talking about a daughter. I was like her, and Sibylle was like her, as far as adventure. So, you know, what you sow is what you reap, you know? And so, beside all my brothers and sisters, I was the one taking off, going on airplanes, flying around the world, doing crazy stuff without any money in my pocket, you know? My dad was like, you're the only person I know you can fly all around the world, you don't have any money. And that's because I was going on mission trips and raising money for mission trips and doing things like that. And my dad was always concerned about, you don't have any insurance. You don't have any health insurance. And I was like, when you're young, you don't care. You know, it's like, whatever. I'll go to any country, you know. And Sibylle, her mom said to her, I always knew that you would do something like that. Meaning, I always knew that you would move away. So, I mean, all her family lives in Germany. So, and, but she's the only one that is not in the country, living in the country. So God prepared our parents and Lisa is just like us, you know. She's got that adventurous spirit. She's like, I'm out of Gresham, you know. I need to go experience life. So praise God for that. So I want to, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 10. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm reading the King James Version today. Just because it says it the best. It really, really does. And, you know, when you go to Bible school and that's what they used, you memorize it in King James. So, but a lot of times King James says it the best. Says in verse 12, when wrestling or when fights or when battles come, we tend to want to blame the people instead of the spirit behind it. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to divide us. And we've got to understand that that division is motivated by a demon or a devil. It's amazing to me how many Christians don't believe in the devil or don't talk about the devil. Especially when Satan personally appeared to Jesus, right, and tempted him three times, and it's specifically written down in the Gospels. And I think it was specifically written down by the Holy Spirit for a purpose to let us know that there is a devil. He does want to steal, kill, and destroy you, but there is a God who comes to give you life and life more abundantly. And as you know, one of my pet peeves is people blaming God for what the devil does. Are you out there? Well, the whole question, why did God allow that to happen? Well, God's not in charge. I know that goes against your authority, your theology. But 1 Corinthians 4:4 says the devil is the god of this world. When he's no longer the god of this world is when you become born again, right? And you become his child and not the child of the devil. I know it sounds harsh, but it's scripture. You switch families. You join a brand new family. You become a new creature in Christ. All old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You are no longer underneath that demonic authority. And as we grow, as we understand who we are in Christ and the authority that he's given us to submit to God and resist the devil, to cast out devils, to do the works of Jesus, so that the atmosphere that surrounds us, which is basically evil, that atmosphere that surrounds us, we change the atmosphere around us wherever we go because the Holy Spirit lives in us and comes upon us. The Prince of Peace, the ultimate joy, the Savior of the world. Amen? And so that's, we are piercing, that you ever read that book, Piercing the Darkness? That's an old book. That's basically what we do. Everywhere we go, When you know who you are in Christ, and when you appropriate what he has given us, wherever we go, that power follows us. That power is with us. And when we understand that authority, the authority of the believer, that's when victory comes. We are more than conquerors, right? And so what does that all entail? Well, it all entails a fight. There's a fight going on, and it's a continual fight. We have to continually stay on our toes. We've got to continually be in the Spirit. We've got to continually discern what's going on around us and not be ignorant of the devil's devices, the Bible says. Not be ignorant of what he will try to do to come in and divide, try to do to come in and bring sickness, disease, destruction, and eventually death in our lives. Try to take you out early. An expert in writing about the fight, staying in the fight, winning the fight, how to win the fight. And we see here in Ephesians chapter 6 that he's talking about the weapons of our warfare that are not fleshly, they're not natural, but they're spiritual, because it's a spiritual battle. So we don't wrestle against people, says, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now, I love that, because here it says that you'll be able to withstand, someone say withstand, in the evil day, and having done all to stand, everybody say stand, everyone say stand therefore. Now, I think that the translators got this wrong. I think that after exclamation point, basically, withstanding the evil day and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Exclamation point. Emphasize three times. Take your stand. Take your stand. Take your stand against evil. Take your stand against sickness. Take your stand against destruction. Take your stand against dysfunction in your family. Take your stand. If we're going to win in this evil day, we've got to learn how to take our stand. We've got to learn how to stand. We've got to learn to not give up. We've got to learn to stay in the fight, because it's a battle. It's a fight. If the devil can't destroy your finances, he'll attack your body. If he can't destroy your body, he'll attack your relationships. He'll attack your kids. He'll attack your business. He'll try to destroy everything. But we've been given the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal. They are spiritual. They are powerful to defeat the enemy in these last days. So, having done all to stand, stand. All to stand, stand, therefore. How do we do it? Well, here's the armor. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So put on the armor of God. Then what do? Got all the armor on? Now we're going to pray. Praying always with what? All prayer and supplication. Basically, it literally means with all kinds of prayer. Praying always with all manner of prayer. How many know there's different prayers for different situations? And how do we pray? Always. Is that difficult? Not if you're filled with the Spirit and you speak in other tongues. You can continue. You can pray under your breath always. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? He prays through us the perfect will of God when we pray in the Spirit for that situation. I get to the point where I don't know how to pray anymore in English. I've gone through all my Bible school teaching and all the examples that I've had from Kenneth Hagin and leaders and listening to them pray. You get to the point where I don't know how else to pray. Well, I'm just going to pray in the Spirit now. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that according to Romans chapter 8, you pray through me the perfect will of God. Amen? And so we pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I love the next part. So once you got the armor of God on, and once you're praying always, and you're in the Spirit, what happens? Well, the next verse actually happens. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, Paul said, that I may open my mouth boldly. I mean, you know, living in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, understanding your authority, boldness comes after that. Around you in the natural against people and circumstances and situations, but understanding that there's an underlying battle going on in the unseen world to destroy that situation, to destroy your life. Therefore, we can boldly come before God. We can boldly speak his word. We can boldly use the authority he's given us. All authority has been given unto us in heaven and on earth. And he's given us the authority to do what? Tread on scorpions and serpents. And he's given us power over all the enemy. All the enemy. Not just some, but all. What was the purpose of Jesus coming to earth? He came to destroy the works of the devil. He went about, and what's the first part of that scripture? He went about healing. Amen? And doing good and destroying all the works. Same verse. It's interesting now that healing and destroying the works of the devil are in that same verse. Because we believe that sickness does not come from God to teach us a lesson or to make us humble. But sickness comes from the devil to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. Amen? Everybody say, God good, devil bad. It's so simple. And I get so frustrated at preachers that don't preach it. I can't answer the question when someone comes up and says, well, why did God allow this? Well, okay. Like in the movie, what's that movie we watched? The girl that got sick and fell inside the tree. What was that movie? Miracles from Heaven. Anybody see that movie? It actually was a good Christian movie because most of them were so cheesy. It's like, it's embarrassing, you know. So it was actually a really good movie. But to the point where the girl had gotten sick, deathly sick, they didn't know how she was going to be healed. It was taking a huge toll on the family. She was going to die, literally. And we see, I forget who the lady, Jennifer Garner, yeah, she did really good in the movie, actually. And she was sitting down with her pastor asking, why did God do this? Why did God allow this? And here's the question. I'm leaning forward in the movie theater thinking, come on, pastor. Come on, tell her the truth. And he says, well, I don't know why God allowed this. And I was like, oh. Can some preacher please tell the truth or read the Bible? You know, because at that point I'm thinking you have an amazing opportunity to tell the world who did this. It wasn't God. It wasn't God. He didn't come to destroy your daughter and to steal all your finances and to steal all your time and destroy the relationship with your other kids because you're focusing on that one kid. The devil came to destroy everything and destroy your husband's business who he just started. You know, I'm just like, please somebody tell the truth. Why? Because the truth sets you free. The truth sets you free. The more truth we know, the disease, then the guilt is off of you. You know, shame off you. It's like God didn't just send this down upon you. As a matter of fact, you know, Jesus came. He was the expressed image of the Father, right? He came to show us who the Father was and to reveal to us who the Father was because at the time that he came on the earth, they had a wrong concept of who God was. You know, they didn't have the written word. They didn't have the scriptures in their hands. And the only ones that did who had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, and it wasn't readily available for people to read. So they had to trust in their leaders that their leaders were teaching the truth And at that time, they weren't. They were preaching basically the works that you need to do in order to get favor with God. Amen? And they were preaching a religion of works, whereas it's never been a religion of works. It's always been by grace through faith. And so Jesus came to reveal the goodness of God, came to reveal the goodness of the Father. What did he do? He preached in his actions. He revealed who the Father was. Amen? So if you want to know who the Father is, read the Gospels. Read what Jesus did. See his heart. Amen? See what he was passionate about. See what he fought for. He fought for the next generation. He fought for kids, you know? Spent time with them. He prayed with them. He fought against unrighteousness. He fought against religion and tradition that was hindering people from a relationship with God. Amen? Awesome. So I'm going to have Don come up. It's called the interview, and I want to interview him. And the reason why is because he was just in a fight for his father's life. Got a microphone. Yep. And sorry, I spilt it. Sorry. And so when the most impactful story in my life, and I want him to come up here because my heart as a pastor is that when you are in the middle of a fight, that you know how to stand there for. Having done all to stand, stand and take a stand in the spirit world. The first time that I heard a story like Don's, I was sitting in Bible school and a preacher had come, a guest speaker had come, and he talked about how that one of his relatives had an accident and was going to die, and they all went to the hospital. All these faith-filled, praying in the spirit people. And they refused to let their relative die. So they got there and they just set up a 24-hour prayer chain in the hospital, a prayer group of people that took turns. And any of the relatives that came that were like, well, we better call the priest for the last. Okay. They basically separated themselves in, what are we going to do? And they just refused. They were like, okay. They basically separated themselves in one room as a prayer room, and everybody else that didn't believe he was going to live, please don't come in there. It's kind of like Jesus, you know, kicking out the people, you know, when he went and raised a little girl from the dead that were mourning in there. He kicked them out of the room. Why? Because the room was filled with doubt and unbelief, and he came as a man of faith, believing that this girl was going to live, right? So basically they prayed continually. And their whole thing was, he's going to live and not die. That was their confession. They were speaking the word. They were praying the word. Even though the doctor came in and would give them a bad report, they would continue to speak. They would continue to pray. And through their efforts over a number of days, their relative got better and lived and recovered and is alive today. And I remember listening to that story and how that impacted me. I was like, wow, because I didn't know. You know, I always thought, well, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go, right? Well, the Lord just took them. It's so unbiblical. With death, everything about God is life. God originally created Adam and Eve to live forever. Live forever. Death came because of sin and Adam and Eve's disobedience. And God warned them ahead of time, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And so God is about life. He's about living. And then I remember one of our Bible school teachers read Psalm 91. It says, with long life will I satisfy you and show you salvation. He said, death has to do with you reaching the point of satisfaction and then wanting to go home. It's like, really? Wow. We've all known someone who's been on their deathbed who had still had the will to live, and they continued to live and got better. There was a miracle took place. But on the other side, we all